It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I hope that you are prepared. I think that we have gotten into a habit of thinking that the only time that God can speak to us is during a sacrament service or a prayer service. But I can testify that every time a man stands behind his pulpit and God is using him, God is speaking to us. And we need to be prepared to hear that word, no matter who stands behind this pulpit. With that said, I will give you our speaker of the hour, my father, Jim Yates.
I'm not going to hold you here too long today. And what I have to say, I don't want you to really have to pay too much attention to. But the scriptures that I bring forth, I want you to pay attention to. Because that tells the story of what I want to get across. I'm going to start this morning in the 24th chapter of Matthew. And if you've got a Bible that is a red letter edition, you will find out that there's only a couple, three sentences in this whole chapter that's not red letters. And so when I bring these scriptures forth, be aware, it's not mine. It comes from the Lord. And he knows what he's saying. In the beginning of this chapter, first couple verses, we see that according to the verses that Jesus has been up at the temple. And he has left the temple and has met with his disciples. And he has just told his disciples about the destruction that's going to come to the temple. And I'm going to read 3 through 5 and then verse 11. As he sat upon the Mountain of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things shall be, that what should be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and many shall deceive," or there shall deceive many. And verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Now perhaps there might be just one or two of us in this congregation this morning that has ever confronted or have seen one of these who claimed they was Christ. My brother and I have. Many years ago, we went with our father out on East Indian School Road. There was a man there who claimed that he was Jesus Christ. He had long hair and a beard. He wore a long white robe. He wore sandals. And the place that he was staying in or living in for that time being that he was there was very frugal. Very few things in there. But this man knew his scriptures. And when it came to portions in there where it says, and Jesus said, he said, I said. Trying to deceive. But he tripped himself up. He got to a point to where there was something that he needed to read. And he couldn't read it because he couldn't find his glasses. Lord, don't need any glasses to read. Now, he was just one of many. How long ago was this, Hugh? 30 years? 40? He's just one over the years that's out there claiming that. 60? Long time ago. Yeah, the verses I just read said that many shall be deceived. And this tells us we have to be on guard 24/7. Or else we can be deceived. As the scripture tells us that when Satan was cast out of heaven, he took a third of the host of angels with him. He has lots of help to send around to deceive. Let's go back to Matthew again. 24:6-7. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not be troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. In verse 6, we read of wars and rumors of wars. Now, throughout the history of most of us that sit here today, especially the elderly people, have seen many wars throughout the face of the land, nation against nation. But lately, it seems like it's nation against nation. Internal strife. Nations warring against those who have been in power for a lifetime of many of them. Up to 40 years some. And after all the killing of their own people and the destruction that they cause, they wind up with those in power who were just as bad or worse than what they had. verse 7 speaks of famines, pestilences, earthquakes. You know, it always seems like there's famines going on somewhere, especially in the African continent. Ethiopia, that part of the country, always seems to be big famines going. Pestilences. On a medical show the other day, I was watching on TV. It was talking about pestilences or diseases that we once thought were eradicated. And they named four that are making a big comeback. Smallpox, whooping cough, measles, and polio. And the drugs that we had that used to be pretty good to help with them, don't touch it anymore. They've become immune to it. And all of this could have been taken care of if it hadn't been for one generation that decided that they couldn't have their children vaccinated. So it's coming back. And those drugs that we used, don't touch them anymore. Natural problems such as is mentioned there, as earthquakes. But we know that there's many natural disasters that happened, that happen from day to day that aren't mentioned there. Hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, tsunamis. This last year, we had terrible floods that lasted for weeks in the Philippines. A big hurricane, and I can't remember what the name of it was, worked its way up the east coast of our country with very little loss as far as life went. But the wind was so strong, it pushed the ocean and stuff up in the rivers and pushed it back and pushed it back. And then the rain came with it, and they had terrible flooding clear into Canada. Places where you normally wouldn't think of some of this type of disasters. Oklahoma City. I think they had an earthquake one day and a tornado the next. What damage one didn't do, the other helped along. Joplin, Missouri. Almost totally eradicated. Due to a tornado. And, of course, the earthquake that was out off of Japan that caused a tsunami that went in for all kinds of damage, and the hurricane shortly after. Not just a loss of approximately, they said, 1,600, they didn't know. But the damage to their atomic power plant and all the radiation that got out and caused all kinds of problems. Those things aren't mentioned in the Bible, but they're still caused by a natural disaster. In Alabama alone last year, they had 177 tornadoes. Big quake in Turkey killed at least 600. And the big quake they had in Haiti, what, 5-6 years ago? Killed 16,000. Left over 1 million homeless. And then they had a hurricane called Katrina that went up our east coast, caused millions in damage. 1,600 loss of life. Here in Arizona, we had the largest wildfire in the history of the state. If my memory serves me right, it was over 500,000 acres. If you're one that watches the news, you saw on the news, or the national news anyway, of the terrible wildfires in Australia. Lost thousands of acres, ranch land, what have you. Some of it burned right up to some of the big cities. And then, of course, the wildfires in Texas, Oklahoma, California. Millions of dollars worth of damage and homes lost and some lives. There's so many different disasters occurring in our country as well as throughout the world. Was watching the Weather Channel just before we came to church. And they had a picture on there of Bosnia, was it? They're getting hit with the winter that we're not getting. And they was digging out the homes within 13 to 16 feet of snow. The waterways in Venice were froze. The Seine River was froze. National disasters. Eighth verse, Matthew 24. We read this. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now, these are all natural disasters that I've been speaking of. But there's other kind of disasters, too. Man-made. That are far more devastating than the natural disasters that I've just read about and read in the scriptures. Because it's not only causing loss of life, but the loss of souls. We have a number of people that call themselves Christian. And I imagine that they might call themselves Christian because they read the Bible and think they're following after the teachings in the Bible. But someone must have tore some of those pages out if you don't believe it, read the first chapter of Romans. On January the 2nd this year, I saw in the news that the state legislature of Washington State passed a law to make it legal for the same-sex marriage. Now, the governor, she's been governor there for 7 years. Her term's about to run out. When she first took office, she was against same-sex marriage. Now she's all for it. She says she'll sign the new bill into law when it crosses her desk. What changed her mind? She's falling right in line with 6 other states that have adopted the same law and passed it in their state. A week before this announcement, I saw on the nightly national news that a legislator in the Congress of the United States, his name is Barry Frank, was going to marry his longtime male friend / companion. This man is making and promoting bills into law for you and I to live by. Last year, California passed a law that stated that a marriage was between a man and a woman. And this goes along with the teachings in the scripture, doesn't it? But a couple, 3 days ago, on Wednesday, the February the 8th, on national news, a federal judge threw this law out, said it was unconstitutional. It was okay for gays to marry. It doesn't stop there. The President of the United States says that gay couples should have the same rights as straight couples. Now, these statements go against everything that you can read in the scriptures that teach us about marriage. This nation was founded on Christian beliefs. It is fast becoming a nation of non-believers. I'd like to go to Romans 1. Romans 1:24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Go to Corinthians. Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infirm, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelators, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They must have some more pages tore out of their Bible. These so-called Christians don't want to see or hear these type of things. It crimps their lifestyle. Now today, February 12th, 2012, where do we stand? What is society teaching our children? They come in contact with this every day in their schools, their workplaces, wherever people meet, wherever they turn nowadays. If you believe in a society that is proclaiming that homosexuality is okay, then you better go back to the first chapter of Romans again and read the 22nd verse. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Same chapter, 18th verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There is a reckoning coming. And it's not going to be pretty. This brings us to Ether 1. 30 to 35. And he, the Lord, has sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, that whosoever should possess this land of promise from that time and henceforth forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they will be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. Got to be getting pretty close, don't we? And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or else they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath is upon them. And the fullness of his wrath come up upon them when they have ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God, or else be swept thereof. For it is the everlasting decree of God. And it is not until the fullness of the iniquity among the children of the land that they be swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know that the decrees of God, that ye may repent, and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you. As the inhabitants of the land hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven. If two letters, if they will but serve the God of the land. who is Jesus Christ, who has been manifested by the things which we have written. How close are we coming to losing our freedom from bondage? And freedom from captivity. How close are we getting to the fullness of iniquity? How much longer before God gets tired of this, our transgressions to his laws, and says, that's enough? Some might say that these are just words. And if they do, they better read Matthew 24:35. 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Red letters. When will it all end? Mosiah 1:21. Mosiah 1:21. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. That was King Benjamin speaking in 124 B.C. But somebody else said that long before that. No, I'm sorry. Somebody else said that after that. That meant the same thing. Tells us the same thing. And it's in red letters. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. That's Matthew 24:14. We as the Church of Christ are striving to help in this direction, slowly but surely. But we have a long ways to go before his gospel is taught in every nation. I've got three more short scriptures. First Nephi 3:188. First Nephi 3:188. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Red letters. Or should be. Matthew 24:13. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But you've got to endure. We need to heed the scriptures, so not be lured into these traps that are being set by Satan and his disciples to snare our young as well as ourselves. We are all vulnerable to the temptations placed before us every day. The only way that we can keep ourselves safe and our children safe is to teach them about the Lord. And in Ephesians 6, 11, it says this. Ephesians 6, 11, one little short scripture. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in this evil day. Because he and that third of the host of angels that he took down with him are doing everything they can to cause you and I to drift away. We have to be on our toes. May the Lord be with us in these latter days and keep us safe, is my prayer.